Yeah, I would say I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to wait till I have some concrete information. Yeah, I think, like we've mentioned, we're excited about this season as a team. The guys are very excited about 2022, and you mentioned the fans. I've definitely felt the energy from these fans. So, but in terms of specifics past that, I don't know that it's that time yet. But yeah, I think the guys are excited about the work that they put in so far, and they're certainly looking forward to competing come September.
You're listening to Straight No Chaser on Dogs by Nature Radio. Now, here's your host, my dad, Thelonious Seven.
My Dogs by Nature family, I hope this transmission finds you well. My name is Thelonious Seven, and you're listening to the AFC North Preseason Symposium on Dogs by Nature Radio. Today, we're joined in the Straight No Chaser studios by a trio of representatives from the AFC North to give us some perspective from the opposition's position. Up first, we're joined by Matt Jurgensen of the Be More Sports Pub.
Hi, this is Matt Jurgensen, and I've been a fan of the Baltimore Ravens since day one in 1996. I've been writing and commenting about the team since 2007, and some of my previous work can be found at Russell Street Report and Baltimore Sports and Life. Currently, I host a Ravens podcast with my good friend Brent Harris, and it is called The Blitz, a Ravens podcast, and it can be found on Apple as well as Spotify. You can also hear my thoughts about the team and all kinds of other things on Twitter at Matt Jurgs.
Matt, it's outstanding to hear from you again. Thank you for taking your time to share with us here on Dogs by Nature Radio. And representing the greater Allegheny region, we're joined by Vince, one half of the Steelers Devoted podcast.
Hey guys, this is Vince Paparella from Devoted to Steelers Twitter.
Vince, it's great to have you here. For the record, Vince and his partner Dimitri can be found at Steelers Devoted on Twitter. And rounding out our coverage, we go to Northern Kentucky to hear from the Bengals and Brews podcast.
What's up, everybody? Travis here from Bengals and Brews with my friend Dale here, co-host Dale.
What's up?
Travis and Dale can be found at Bengals Brews on Twitter. So with the pleasantries aside, let's get into this 2022 AFC North preseason symposium. We're going to kick off this discussion by addressing the elephant in the room. What does the drama in Cleveland look like from the outside? On the balance, how do you rate the acquisition of Deshaun Watson? We'll start with Matt Jurgensen from the Crab Cake Capital.
Deshaun Watson continues to be the story of the offseason. And once the Browns decided to acquire him, they knew they were getting a highly competent top 10 level quarterback, three-time Pro Bowler, that he was going to come with a lot of controversy surrounding him. You can understand, at least from a personnel standpoint, why the Browns were interested. They wanted to stop the carousel that they've had since version 2.0 of the Browns has come into existence. Baker Mayfield was supposed to be that guy. They obviously have moved on from him. But there's no question this is a serious strategic and financial gamble. Multiple number one picks, a record-setting contract, brings Watson into the fold. And anytime you look at a player, certainly a player of this caliber, with this background, there's always risk versus reward. Is he truly the missing piece that is going to move Cleveland to its first championship ever? You know, the compensation is staggering. There's obviously the ethical issues of bringing a player like this with so many things unclear about what actually happened and what his status is going to be. As of right now, 6-game suspension. And no surprise, he'll end up back week 7 against my Ravens playing in what might be his first game. But we might not see that. We might see, you know, the NFL look to tack on more games. We might see a lawsuit from Watson's camp. So it's still kind of unclear. But it is important to know that in that risk reward, there were other teams that were interested. It wasn't just Cleveland. Atlanta and New Orleans both came calling. But again, as a Baltimore fan, I am familiar to scandal. Certainly Ray Lewis, and more recently Ray Rice. And the question, of course, here is that Ray Rice, in his situation, he never played football again. But was it because of his crime? Or was it because that during that last season, he only averaged 3 yards a carry? Deshaun Watson still has his best days in front of him and could potentially lead the Browns to a championship.
Matt, judging from this offseason, the potential is definitely there. Whether or not we see it is another question altogether. So now we turn to Vince Paparella to get his perspective on the Deshaun Watson acquisition.
So first and foremost, Watson is definitely an upgrade from Baker Mayfield in every foreseeable way on the field. Now, of course, the person itself is going to come into question right now, especially with some character issues and the things that have been, you know, accused against him in the court, you know, case that he settled or whatnot. I see it as kind of a desperate move a little bit because of the amount of guaranteed money that was given to Watson. You know, to guarantee a full contract like that has never been done in the NFL before. And I think, honestly, it upset a lot of the other owners, especially when you look at Baltimore right now and they're trying to get a contract done. And I'm sure that Lamar Jackson has taken into consideration that he wants more guaranteed money, you know, and Deshaun Watson got it and he hadn't played in a year. So it's an interesting acquisition, but I think it's definitely an upgrade over their former quarterbacks.
Vince, great point about Lamar Jackson, and it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this whole situation shakes out. So now we turn to Travis Sindale to get the Queen City perspective on the elephant in the room.
I would say that the drama from the outside looks like it is an absolute wreck, and it looks like from the inside, everybody is blocking the outside and loves it. But everybody else is not a fan. And what do I think about the whole balance in it? I think that from a outside world perspective, it sucks. But from the inside world perspective, they're turning it on and they're going to work with it. And, you know, in that element, football's football. So they got to play how they got to play. We're going to come no matter what. Dale, what do you got?
I think, talent-wise, Watson, he's a pretty talented guy coming out of Clemson. He sat out for a while would be the big question. I'm going to go ahead and just move on, you know. I'm sure Browns fans, you get sick of talking about Watson. And, you know, you probably want to talk about other players on your team. And we'll talk about some of our players and your players through this.
That sounds about right. So let's move on to the next topic. Travis, Dale, take a second to reset this offseason for our community. How do you feel about the early returns on your draft class? Are there places where you wish the front office was more aggressive?
About our draft class, I liked it. I didn't think Dax Hill was going to get to pick 31. It was a good and bad thing, though, because I'm like, well, this probably is the writing on the wall for Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates is probably not going to be here long term. Now, he's setting out training camp, but it sounds like he's still talking to teammates. He's talking to Dax Hill. He should be here week one and on the field, and if he is, that's great for the Bengals for this season. But Dax Hill is probably the future of that safety spot, and he can play a little slot corner. He could probably play outside corner in a pinch. Daggone good pick, in my opinion, boys, at pick 31.
Yeah, I definitely think that if we're going AFC North questions on this one, I think the Bengals yet again took the win when it comes to the draft. Browns didn't get a first or second because of their pickup with Watson. Ravens is having injuries on theirs, and Steelers, this guy's got small hand picket. So, I mean, you can't really win with that. You can't really hold much. But what is the third question here?
Well, it was a little bit about our front office and being aggressive. Like, this is the first year I can say, like, I'm happy. Oh, yeah. That's still on two. Like, I thought they were really aggressive. They went out and fixed the big need that we had, and that was the offensive line.
Yeah, like, when we found out last year that we started to become the big brother in the division, our owners and everybody else started to really open up their pockets to really make sure that what we have can work out.
Yeah, three acquisitions, Ted Karras, you know, Kappa, and then when they brought in Lyle Collins, I was like, oh,
we got great. We picked up absolute grass eaters. This year's offensive line is not even, it's on a completely different step than last year.
Grass, ass eaters, whatever you want to call them, man. Frank Pollock's got them boys.
that we went to the Super Bowl last year with a line that was letting people go through like paper. So, I mean, we're looking to see what we can do this year with that one. But honestly, the pickups of honestly, the drafts, I wasn't a big fan of anybody's draft, but the pickups on the O-line are definitely the biggest win when it comes to us.
I liked hearing your assessment of Kenny Pickett, but all kidding aside, year three of Joey Burrow with a revamped offensive line will give this conference fits. Hopefully, Miles and the boys have something to say about that. So now let's hear from Matt Jurgensen to hear what he thinks about the Ravens offseason.
I think the Ravens had a pretty typical draft for them. I mean, they ended up going best player available with their first pick. They got Kyle Hamilton, 6'4", 220, out of Notre Dame. Safety, a lot of people had him perhaps as a top five pick. The Ravens didn't really have a needed safety with Marcus Williams coming over from New Orleans and Chuck Clark, the captain of the defense. So it'll be interesting to see how Hamilton is integrated into this new-look defense under new defensive coordinator Mike McDonald. They also ended up getting Tyler Linderbaum in the end of the first round, a center out of Iowa. One of the issues last year for the Ravens was the offensive line. They gave up 57 sacks, and they really tried to make it a point to rebuild that line, and it's going to start with Linderbaum, who hopefully should be the linchpin for the next decade. Some other interesting players in this draft, David Ajabo, second round, played for new coach McDonald at Michigan. Maybe a top 15 pick, but tore his Achilles. We're not even sure if he's going to be able to even play this year, but the hope is he'll eventually be able to pair with Odafe Owe from last year and give the Ravens a terrorizing combo that they really haven't had in terms of pass rushing since the days of Elvis Dumervil and Terrell Suggs. Some other interesting players, Travis Jones in the third round out of UConn, a defensive tackle. Has value as a pass rusher. The Ravens finally moved on, and they had a ton of fourth-round picks, finally moved on from Sam Cook, their punter of the last 15 years. Jordan Stout from Penn State will now take over the duties. He's got a big leg, massive hang time to go with it. And the other name that is making waves right now in camp is tight end out of Coastal Carolina, Isaiah Likely. In terms of where I wish the Ravens would be a little more aggressive, I think it's where everyone would say, wide receiver. They've got a group of wide receivers. Rashad Bateman from last year is going to take over as the de facto number one. And you've got a lot of other second and third year players, Devin Duvernay, James Prochet, Tylan Wallace. And the question were the Ravens going to sign a veteran wide receiver? And I don't think it's really going to be the case. I mean, when you go back to Lamar Jackson's MVP year and what the offense was able to do, they used a lot of two tight end, three tight end sets, and, you know, they didn't use the wide receiver, I think, like every other team uses them. And I think that was true. You saw the Ravens take two tight ends in this draft. So I think this is really, again, going to be a moratorium on Eric DaCosta's style. You know, he said years ago that we're going to zig while the rest of the league zags. We're going to be a running team. We're going to do some things that are a little bit unconventional, unusual. And while that's yielded a lot of regular season success, they've only won one playoff game since that Super Bowl in 2012. So this season's going to be a big, I think, make or break season in regards to just to how they organize their team and how they do their business moving forward.
Matt, this is an outstanding and thorough response. The Ravens do what they do every year, which is retool and come back with a vengeance. Interesting to see how this season shakes out. So let's wrap up our preseason preview by hearing from Vince Paparella and his perspective of the Steelers offseason.
Offseason, obviously, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Change of quarterback, change of GM. You know, and so, of course, they've now had Mitch Trubisky. They also drafted Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh. George Pickens, who was my favorite pick of the class. Leal, defensive lineman from Texas A&M. Calvin Austin III, wide receiver from Memphis. So they have, you know, they kind of reloaded, obviously, primarily on offense, and it needed to be done. I think, you know, they did signed Mason Cole from the Minnesota Vikings and Daniels from the Bears to kind of fix their offensive line, because that was obviously an issue last year. If anything, I wish they were more aggressive in offensive line. I wasn't crazy about the Chooks re-signing at right tackle. But they feel strongly about their left side of their line. So it's going to be a lot of given. It's going to be a lot of interesting, you know, especially beginning this year, to see how it all comes together. And, you know, maybe they'll kind of address that next year if they feel the quarterback situation figured out. But this, obviously, you know, this was one of the most aggressive years that they, how they were approached free agency, because typically they're not very aggressive during the free agency session.
We're going to see if the Steelers' aggression pays off in day two of our preseason preview. But with that, we'll put part one in the books. Once again, representing the Ravens, we have Matt Jurgensen, who can be found at Matt Jurgs on Twitter. Our Steelers rep is Vince Paparella from at Steelers Devoted. And representing the Natty, we have Dale and Travis from at Bengals Brews. And of course, I'm your host, Thelonious Seven, on Dogs by Nature Radio. We'll be back with the second half soon, but until then, take care and go Browns.